presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
And I'm Mark Martin. We're thrilled you're with us here this evening, and we have a really exciting program here that we're going to discuss a few things in Scripture.
Actually, we do. We're going to talk about men and women, their differences, their equality together, and find from the Scripture what the Bible says about men and women and who they were created to be.
Yeah, so hopefully that has your attention there in just the introductory comments, but there's a little business we want to take care of. We want to remind you that you can find our website at prophecyhope.com. You are obviously maybe tuned into New Visions Radio. We want to thank New Visions Radio for giving us the chance, Ray Powers, giving us the opportunity to broadcast here every week. As far as the way to contact Rick or myself, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com, or if you want to email a question or comment to Rick,
you can reach me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
Also, we want to remind you, friends, that we every week you can join us online. And how do they do that, Rick?
Well, they can go to our website. We have a live, programming every Saturday starting at 9:30 Eastern time.
A.M.
Yeah, 9:30 in the morning. That's right. A.M. Eastern time. And that goes usually until about 12:15. That'd be 12:15 p.m. Eastern time. And we broadcast a Bible study time, and we broadcast a talk or a sermon inside that program. That starts at 11 o'clock.
You'll find it to be pretty laid back. You know, we'll sing a hymn. We'll have an opening prayer. We'll have a few announcements. We have an intercessory prayer. So if you have something or someone that you want to pray for or something you need to pray about, you can email us, and we will make that a part of our intercessory prayer.
You can also email us generically at office@prophecyhope.com.
Yes, if you can't remember our names.
So we are located here in Stanton, Virginia. And if you are ever here in this area on a Wednesday evening or on a Saturday morning, we'd love to have you stop by, maybe stop in and talk to us. Contact us first if possible so that we make sure everything is on schedule for that particular week.
Right.
And we'd love to see you. On Wednesday night, we have a Bible study. We're just going through the book of Romans.
Yes. And I think the reason that Rick said so that everything's on schedule is sometimes, just a few weeks ago, we had some ice here at the time of this broadcast. It's wintertime. So we ended up delaying our worship service a little bit because the roads were too slick for people to come out. Mm-hmm. So that would usually be the only reason why we would delay anything or the schedule would change.
Right. We'd love to have visitors, though.
Yes, we do. And every other week, we have a fellowship meal, so you're welcome to join us for that if you're in the area. The first and third Saturday or Sabbath. We keep the biblical Sabbath here at Prophecies of Hope. So in case you were wondering, why do you meet on Saturday instead of Sunday? It's because we stick to what the Bible says.
Hmm.
That's our statement of faith.
That's right.
So, and did you have another thought, Rick, before we get started?
I don't think so. I'm ready to get started.
All right. Would you open with a word of prayer for us?
Sure. Father in heaven, we view it as a great privilege to call you our Heavenly Father because we recognize that through your Son, you created everything that we know, everything that we understand. And Father, we're thankful for that creation. The Sabbath each week is a memorial of the creation week that is accounted in Genesis. And Father, we just thank you that you love us so much that you sent your only begotten Son to help us understand your plan of salvation and pay the penalty for us. Now, as we open your word to find out more about your plan of salvation, we ask for the Spirit of Christ Jesus to be with us and each one of our listeners so that we can understand even more deeply. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Well, Rick, I want to start off here in this study by saying that if anyone doesn't recognize today that there's a lot of political turmoil, a lot of racial problems in the United States, mm-hmm. there are many, many issues that have come about, particularly since and during and in the past year or so, since the time of this presidential election that came up in 2016.
Yeah, I agree. I think everyone would have to agree with that.
Yeah, it seems like there's more and more friction. I'll just state this, and friends, I just want you to know this. My wife and I, we don't watch a lot of secular TV. And when I say secular TV, we don't watch commercial programming. We like some of the home and garden shows and things like that to teach you how to do things around your house. But once a year, I'll sit down and I'll watch a program called the Super Bowl. I've only watched two of them in their entirety. And one of them was this past game, which was, I think it was the Patriots, and who was the other team?
The Atlanta Falcons.
The Atlanta Falcons. So even in within there was political turmoil within those two teams as far as who the owners were and this and that. But what got me was in watching this during one of the commercials, there was a young girl that was in a soapbox car, and she was competing with these little boys. And obviously, she outperformed them.
That's right.
And I thought that was neat. But in listening to the commercial, when I was listening to it, and I don't even remember what it was for, it's not important. But in listening to it, it seemed that there was this agenda, this push for the girl to be something maybe that she wasn't created to be. And it seems like we have this problem from the beginning of time in the Bible all the way through to today, but it seems like it's like a snowball rolling downhill. You know what I mean, Rick?
Yeah, I exactly know what you mean. I think there's great forces on both sides of these issues. People that want to push for what we call gender equality.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let me just say this. We need to take what we understand about human beings straight from the Bible, straight Amen. From the Word of God. So I think if we go back and look at the account given in the Bible of how Adam and Eve, our first parents, were created, the first human beings, that might make some sense of how we should view males and females, even in today's society.
I think that's an excellent place to start. And, you know, friends, I want you to know that what caused this was someone asked me just this week after the Super Bowl game, they asked me the question, in the Bible, does God think that men are better than women? And I think we can start off right off the bat without looking at any verses and answer that question and say, no, God does not think men are better than women.
No. I'm laughing because I think that's a funny question, because I think it's very apparent from Scripture that God is not a respecter of persons as we respect them.
Right.
As human beings see them. In other words, it doesn't matter if you're male or female or what color your skin is or anything like that. If you've got a human brain and a heart beating inside your chest, God loves you.
Absolutely.
And he wants you to be part of his kingdom.
Amen.
And he also wants you to do what's right and know what's right and
sure.
wrong. And he's trying desperately. I think it's very clear from the Scripture that God is trying desperately everything he can possibly do to save every man and woman on this planet.
Of every race.
Every race.
And skin color.
You know, I'm sure God loves variety.
Absolutely.
And so
that's why
I think race
exists.
is wonderful to God. Our characters matter tremendously to him, and our personalities matter tremendously to him.
Sure.
Because, look, if God had one example of each personality type in his kingdom, would he be happy with that? I don't think so. Because he's trying to save everybody in our little nuances.
Right.
You know, chocolate ice cream and you like vanilla or vice versa, I think God appreciates those particular differences in who we are.
Sure.
And so the Bible clearly reveals that God wants a relationship with each one of us.
Amen.
Individually. And we don't get that individual relationship through some organization or through some church. It's a one-on-one thing.
That
means each one of our listeners out there today, it's up to you to have your relationship with God and know who the one true God is.
Amen. So for those of you who are tuned in, it's obvious that Rick and I believe what the Bible says. So let's turn back to the book of Genesis. This is the foundational book for the whole Bible. Is that where you were going to go, Rick?
Sure.
Were you going to go to Genesis?
Yes.
And I think it's important that you know, if you're new to this program, if you're not, then I'm kind of repeating myself here, but Rick and I believe, as far as it's possible, to believe in a literal interpretation, particularly of the book of Genesis.
Yeah, that's right. We take the first few chapters and say it's exactly what it says,
right,
that God created the earth in seven literal days,
mm-hmm,
and he set up a memorial of that creation at the end of that 7 days called the seventh day Sabbath,
right,
the rest day. And he wants us to observe that rest day because we as human beings were his creation. Who knows better about their creation than the creator?
There you go.
So I guess that's another study.
It is.
But it's literal.
But we believe that it's literal. Absolutely. And I think we can prove that clearly from Scripture.
And we're going to read how God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life.
What you're quoting is Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Let's take a look at that text, Rick. I've got it right here. In fact, this page has fallen out of my Bible. You can hear it. But it says here, and Genesis 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." We believe that literally. That God took the dust, the elements of this earth that we live on, mm-hmm, and he formed it into a man.
Yep.
And breathed into him, and the man came to life.
That's it. And don't ask us how that took place.
Right.
Only God knows, right?
And let's say this. When we die, what happens to our body?
Oh, well, that's pointed out right here in Genesis also, that he says, if you sin, dust you are, dust you will return to.
There you go. So, yeah, in other words, it proves that we are part of the elements of what the earth is.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So, if we go a little bit further in this account, did you have anything else you wanted to express here in Genesis 2?
No, just we need to make sure our listeners know that we take all these things literally.
Right.
And we believe that, you know, science has been trying to prove this wrong for thousands of years.
Sure.
And I don't think they've done a very good job at all.
No, I don't either.
They may think they have a theory as to how the world and the earth began and the universe began, but I think it's those scientific things are only theories.
Right.
And all the theories of man don't add up to the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Let me tell you that.
Amen. So let's go to the same chapter, chapter 2. And I want to look at verse, this is Genesis chapter 2. I want to look at verse 21.
Okay.
And it starts off and it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man."
Hmm.
So let's just look at this for how it reads. If I believe what the Bible says, who was here first, the man or the woman?
Well, the man was. That's obvious.
The man was. And so it tells us here that the man actually named all of the animals. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of realized, hey, there's none like me. So God kind of wanted him to have that desire for a companion.
I was just going to say, God's no dummy. He wanted Adam to realize that the horse, there's a male and female horse, there's,
right,
a male and female donkey, there's a male and female this and that, you know, right on down the line. And he looks at himself and he has no partner.
Right.
So I think God wanted him to feel that necessity,
yes,
in his life.
And I think this is important. Look, without my wife, I feel incomplete. I really do.
Well, don't you think that's what the Bible means when it says male and female will become one flesh?
Yeah, that's what it says right here in the same chapter, where in verse 24. Can you read that, Rick?
It says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh."
Okay. So when I look at this and I see that they shall be one flesh, is there an equality there?
Oh, I think there has to be.
Yeah.
I think there has to be. If one was so much greater than the other, there would be almost like a slavery involved.
Go ahead. Were you going to expound on that?
Well, I think love happens between, of course, there's different kinds of love. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can love our cat.
Right.
Okay. That means we feel tremendously responsible for our cat or our dog or a pet or something like that.
Right.
And our pet generally loves us. Of course, they know who feeds them.
Right.
Right. But a love that happens between equals, like a man and a woman, it's something unique and very special.
Yes.
Because their intellect is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Our abilities are generally the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so the love and the relationship that takes place, I think this is why God said they will become one flesh.
Yes.
It would be very difficult for us to do that with a being that was so much lower than us or so much higher than us.
Yes, I agree with that. So when we look at this account, I see here that the man existed prior to the woman.
That's right.
The woman came out of the man. And I think we need to touch on this. When in Genesis 1:26 it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Do you have any thoughts on that, Rick?
Well, I think this is really, really important. It's a very deep study into God starting the creation of human beings. And I think there was a lot of thought and wisdom that went into it. It just wasn't something that he decided to do and go out in one
right.
day, you know. Obviously, took 7 days, right? But if God said to someone, "Let us make man in our image," that other person must be in the image of God also.
Mm. That's right? An excellent point, yes.
So when I look through the scripture and see that God obviously has a son,
mm-hmm.
especially born out in the New Testament, that's when the son is truly revealed.
Right.
But also many references in the Old Testament,
many.
not yeah. just New Testament. I believe God was speaking to his son when he said those words.
Let us. It's a plurality, right?
Right.
It's more than one there.
So he's giving us today an object lesson of what it was like for him and his son.
Okay. This
not
is
only
vitally
us,
important.
But the angels, because
yeah.
we know from the Genesis account that there were angels.
Yes.
At that particular time.
That's correct.
Just like we believe in angels today.
Yes, we do.
If it's an object lesson and the woman came forth from the man, it would seem like in eternity past, we don't know when, that the son came forth from the father in that same particular way.
Which makes him a son.
Which also. Makes him a son, right?
And let me ask you this. We said that Eve came out of Adam. So Eve was a human being. Adam was a human being. So if Christ comes out of his father sometime in eternity past, how are they equal? In
well,
what
they
sense?
Both, the God that we know, the one true God, is a divine God. He is a holy God.
Yes.
He has a divine nature, we would say.
Right.
It's not human like us, right?
Because
we're created beings. But if the Son came forth from the Father, like the Bible clearly reveals, he must be the same substance, the same nature as his Father, who is God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I believe that's why in the New Testament, we have the Father himself, God himself, calling his Son God.
Right.
Because his son is God by his natural inheritance.
Inheritance. Right. So they're both divine.
Now, these may be new things to most of you out
yeah.
there, but I think the Bible clearly reveals that God's son was a son long before he came and was born of Mary and became the son of man also
yes.
at that time.
And on our website, you'll find numerous lectures about this, and you'll find the archive radio programs about these things. If you go back and listen.
You know,
they're very in-depth.
Yes, they're very in-depth. And these aren't things that we've just pulled out of a hat. We think these things. Look, there are many scriptures that support exactly what we've said. And let me just list a few. If you want to write them down out there in radio land. Micah 5:2,
mm-hmm.
where it says, it's referring to Christ, and it says, "Your goings forth have been from eternity."
Yes.
What is a goings forth? Well, we don't know how that happened from the Father, but there's texts in the New Testament where Christ is pictured as in the bosom of the Father. Where are the ribs?
Yeah.
In the bosom. In other words, the chest area.
And that's John 1:18 that you're referring to.
Okay. And if you read Proverbs chapter 8, starting with verse 22, or read the whole chapter, you'll understand that there's a change in the chapter when it comes to verse 22.
Yes.
And we believe, and it's very evident, that the wisdom of God, the power of God and the wisdom of God, Paul says, is Jesus Christ. So the wisdom of God referred to in Proverbs 8 is Jesus Christ himself. And he's describing how he came forth from his Father in eternity past before anything was created.
Basically, the Father had wisdom before Christ came forth, but Christ is wisdom personified.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the way I would
say
it.
So you put all these texts together, you get a clear picture that Jesus Christ is the literal Son of our God and Heavenly Father.
Yes. So when we look at this, let us make man in our image. Our understanding of Scripture is that the Father, just like any father, always precedes a son.
Mm-hmm.
And we have in the arrangement here, God makes the man from the dust. And I've heard my wife say, he always saves the best for last. So the woman came after the man.
Well, you know,
it's a joke.
It's very interesting. Let's talk about it. And I get it, you know. Let's talk about the equality issue.
Yes.
Because we are often taken to task over our belief straight from the Scripture that Jesus Christ is the literal Son of God.
Right.
Okay. But my goodness, it's all through the New Testament. Jesus himself declares that he is the Son
sure.
of God. So my question to those critics are, how we know how he is the Son of Man because he was born from a woman.
Right.
But how is he the Son of God? He must have come forth from the Father before anything was created, before basically even time was as we know it. So my point with this is we have a little window into what the relationship is between the Father and Son, their equality when we look at male and female human beings.
Yes.
Because Mark, wouldn't you say that Eve is just as human as Adam?
Absolutely. Look, I think let's turn to a New Testament text.
Okay.
And I want to we're going to be all over the place here in the next 30 minutes or so. I want you to really see what the Scriptures say about this. So what we're trying to establish is we've established that the Father is divine, therefore his Son is divine.
Mm-hmm.
That Adam is humanity, therefore if Eve came from a rib from Adam and God created Eve, let's face it, he created them in different ways.
Yeah, but she must be humanity too.
She must be human, right. But Adam came from the soil and Eve came from the substance of Adam.
So she really came from the soil too. It just happened to be that soil was something different that God had made and was
sure.
the flesh of Adam.
So I guess to say my point is that they came about in different ways,
yes.
even though they're both human beings.
Yes.
So when I look at, let's turn to Philippians, which okay. this is about, this is actually about Jesus, but I think this is really important that we look at this. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5, it starts off, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. And
well, that makes sense with Adam and Eve, because Eve wouldn't think it was robbery to be equal with Adam, would she?
No, she wouldn't. And that's what I think. When Adam said in chapter 2, verse 23, this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. He recognized an equality there.
Oh, it's clear. It's clear that he recognized that.
And the
what else could he possibly be saying by what he said?
I don't know. And because right after he says that, that's why it says, therefore, or because of this, right?
Yep.
Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become
one flesh.
There you go.
Equals becoming one, one in purpose. You know,
they're one in nature, one in purpose.
In a sexual way, we actually become one.
Right. And that's a very deep emotional connection and a physical connection as well.
That's right.
So
we're making a strong case for a good, solid male-female marriage relationship,
yes,
aren't we?
And let's face it, while they are equal, let's jump back. I know I'm jumping around a little bit. Back there at Philippians chapter 2, I think it's verse 6. I've switched my Bible back to Genesis mm-hmm. here.
Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Yeah, the interesting word to me is the word with God.
Okay.
He doesn't say, when Paul writes this to the Philippians, he doesn't say he's equal to God. He's equal with God. That's an important choice of words. And the reason I say that is because Christ did not consider it robbery to be called the divine Son.
That's true.
He knew that he was, in fact, divine. Mm-hmm. He must have realized that at some point in his life. And at some point of his human life, I should say.
Yeah, that's true.
So the point is, why am I saying he wasn't equal to God, but he was equal with God? And that can be offensive to some people. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I think this helps me to make this point. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Mm-hmm. And Rick, I'm going to ask you to read. Just start in verse 1 and just read a couple of verses here, and I'll stop you.
Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ.
So this
must be Paul.
Yes, there you go.
Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
Okay, let's stop there.
Okay.
Now, for some reason in this world that we live in, because of this wanting gender equality, as they call it, this headship thing is a dirty word, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. The concept is very much looked down upon today.
But this is very balanced in the way that it's written. And the reason I say that is because, look, most of us here, if we're listening to this program, chances are we believe what the Bible says, or we have some interest in the Bible, or we're looking into Christianity in some
way.
Sure. And if we know who Christ is, I've never known Christ to abuse or mistreat anyone in any situation.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, his character was one of complete understanding and love, but also justice too.
Yes.
I mean, it was a very good balance.
Absolutely. But he always extended love, even to those who didn't love him.
Oh, that's true. Well, he even prayed for those people while he was dying.
Yes.
He said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing.
This is so important. So if as a husband, any ladies or women that are listening to this program right now, if you're married to a man that treats you the way that Christ treats his, how could you not respect that man?
Oh, I find that very true.
Do you see the balance there? In other words, if Christ is the head of the man and the man is the head of the woman, he learns from the example of Christ, the man does.
That's very good.
Well, who's Christ's head according to this?
Oh, that's his Father.
His Father.
God. Right.
Yeah. So Christ has a head. He has an example, a go-to, to look to see, well, I know how my Father treats me. I know how my Father loves others, and I'm going to love them the way my Father loves them.
Yeah, that's very good. I guess the only one that does not have a head over him is God himself.
That seems obvious from this text, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does.
So I guess the point that I'm making is, We read in Philippians that Jesus is equal with the Father, but his Father is his head. He's the head of Christ.
He has authority over him.
Yeah, so he's not equal to him. He's equal with him, yet he's subordinate to the Father.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I can see the difference, yes.
Okay. So in a man and wife relationship, husband and wife relationship, Rick, how does this relate? How can I look at this in a husband and wife? You know, because some wives don't want to submit. That's a dirty word, that word submit, to their husbands. How can we fix this problem? How can it be fixed?
It's very simple. And you're going to say, what? It's very simple.
That's what everybody's listening is saying.
Look, if every husband out there would submit to his head, which is Christ, the wives wouldn't have any difficulty submitting to their head, which is their husband.
Right.
Because their husbands, like you said, would treat them perfectly, like Christ treats us.
Right.
With love and justice all the time.
Yes.
And in fact, doesn't Jesus Christ have a responsibility for those that he's head over?
Absolutely he does.
A tremendous responsibility, doesn't he?
Yes.
So the husband has a tremendous responsibility for his wife and his family. Mm-hmm. Tremendous responsibility.
And think of this. The wife has a tremendous responsibility over the children.
Yes.
Right?
I agree.
So it seems hierarchical. I guess in a way it is.
A lot of people are offended by this. They're saying, this is archaic. This is archaic. This is just something that past generations have believed.
Yeah.
Humanity had to have it this way to make things work in societies that were had these steps in them. But now we don't have to observe these things.
So what better way is there? I mean, is there another way that works outside of this?
Well, I think we get entwined with society so much and what society teaches that we lose sight of the fact that the Creator knows best for us.
That's true.
So that being said, let's address the fact of this equality issue.
Okay.
Don't you think men and women should get equal pay for the equal job?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Without question, right?
Yes.
And if a man does that same job or a woman does that same job better than their counterpart, they deserve better pay. Right?
Yes. I'm so all for that.
Pay and I guess being rewarded for the talents and the amount of time and effort you put into anything should be based on your performance and your talents.
Yes. Not on your gender or skin color.
That's exactly right. So that's not what we're talking about here.
That is not. You're correct.
Okay.
Because we are firm believers that if somebody does a better job or is better qualified, then they deserve a better reward as far as payment is concerned.
So what we are talking about truly is that God created men and women differently.
He did.
Period. I mean, that's
it. I'm personally thrilled about that because I love looking at my wife.
Okay, that's awesome. Look, if there wasn't the difference between men and women, well, first of all, there would be no human race.
That's true.
Let's just put it that simple.
Sure. Women were created with abilities that you and I don't have because
that's
we're
right. men. And you and I have abilities that a woman does not have.
Right.
So if we have an orange and an apple, aren't they both fruit?
Yes.
They are. But what if I wanted all of the oranges to be exactly like the apples? I mean, what if we kind of did away with all the oranges and all the oranges just became apples?
We genetically changed them, right?
Right. Okay. Or vice versa. What if we wanted all the apples and we do away with all the apples and we wanted them to all be oranges? When it came time to make an apple pie, I'd have a pretty difficult time with just oranges,
that's right.
Wouldn't it?
Or vice versa. If I wanted a glass of orange juice, I couldn't
and
have
I
it.
Only had apples.
Yeah.
So I think God, in his wisdom, made us to be what he created us to be. Now, that may sound so simplistic that it's stupid, but
it's true, though.
It's true.
Look, there's an example in the Bible of one who is created to be a being that wasn't happy with what he was created to be. Can
yeah,
you
that's
think
right.
of who that is, Rick? Can we
Well, the Bible says that was Lucifer before he became Satan.
Where do we find that? In Isaiah 14, is it?
Is it Isaiah or Ezekiel 28?
I think it's both accounts. Let's take a look. I'll go to Isaiah. You go to Ezekiel, if you don't mind.
Okay, that sounds good.
Save a little time that way. I do know that, so for those of you who are studied, you recognize that Lucifer was a created angel of much authority in heaven who eventually fell and became Satan the devil. By his own choice, he chose this way. Yeah, I think the one that you're talking about in Ezekiel is where it actually talks about the what he was created to be. Is that right? Ezekiel 28?
If you look at in Ezekiel, of course, Ezekiel was a prophet. He's seeing the things that God is showing him. And in verse 11 and 12, he's placed into some sort of a vision. And he's asked to prophesy or lay up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. But in verse 13, it's pretty clear what Ezekiel is seeing.
Yes.
He sees in heaven, in God. Yeah, Ezekiel 28. God, verse 13, he sees in heaven before, my understanding is that this was before the earth was created. Okay. Mm-hmm. He
is describing. Well, in verse 13 is once the earth was created.
Okay. He's seeing this being in heaven, and he just says, "Thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering." And so this was a very beautiful being. In verse 14, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub." Well, we know a cherub is an angel, mm-hmm. right? I know we have in our mind these little baby things with little tiny wings, but no, cherubs are powerful angels.
Yes.
And that's what the Bible reveals.
With much authority.
With much authority God has given them, right? "I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in all your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity or sinfulness was found in you."
Right.
Okay, then it goes through and it tells how, you know, his... In verse 17, his heart was lifted up because of his beauty. In other words, he thought he was the real deal because it wasn't that God had given him all these things. It's that it somehow, I don't know what he thought, that it was just his by
basically
who he was.
He was just, he recognized, hey, look at this authority I have.
That's right.
Look at the control that I have. Look at how beautiful I am. And it basically went to his head.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, this is the description of how it got into his head. But in Isaiah chapter 14, it's more about what he wanted to become or how he wanted to change how he was created.
In other words, he wasn't happy with he was given all of this authority, all of this beauty in Ezekiel 28 that we see. And then when we look at Isaiah chapter 14 and we look at verse 12, it says, Isaiah 14:12, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High."
So he had this idea that even though he was a created being and he was very, very beautiful, that when the sin was found in him and he was cast out of heaven, somehow he wanted to be like God himself.
Yeah.
He rather wasn't than happy. Just doing the things that God created him to do and be that that angel person. Yeah. But angel.
Sure.
You know, that being.
This is the point that we're making. Men were created to be men and function as men. Women were created to be, according to the Bible, the helpmeet. Now, when we say the helper or helpmeet, it doesn't mean that she's a lesser being. But most of the time, in most relationships, in most husband and wife relationships, the men are typically physically stronger.
That's true.
But I find that the women have much better dexterity than men.
Hmm. You know, I think together... men and women, we make a whole when we put both a man and a woman together.
Yes.
That's the way God designed it to be. And I think it's because if we were both exactly the same, Would it make any difference if you put two of the exact same things together? Or maybe a little stronger, or have a little more power. But the diversity, that's a code word for today, isn't it? Diversity.
Yes.
It really means differences. The differences that men and women have make us much more strong together
and
as a unit.
And make us attract. It's like the north and south poles of a magnet,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
You know, and really what happens when they come together is that magnet becomes much stronger.
Yes, it does.
And it's almost sometimes it's inseparable unless you move it a certain way and kind of twist it. And
that's true.
So the other point, and I've heard this said, and I'm going to share this with those here on the program. I've heard it said that when God created the man from the dust and the woman came from his rib, you know, the rib, this is where our vital organs are.
Okay.
My wife is a vital part of who I am.
Oh, that's good.
Right? Mm-hmm. And God didn't take Eve and create Eve from Adam's foot so that he could trample on her.
No.
He didn't take her and bring a bone out of his head so that she was over him.
That's true.
But she brought her out of his side, out of his body.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the point. A man and woman side by side should be inseparable, and they should be a wonderful team. They were created to be and function a little differently, even though they are equal with one with the other.
One with the other. You know, there's an interesting text in one of the Old Testament minor prophets.
Okay.
Zechariah.
Yes, that's one of those little hard books to find right there before Malachi, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like two books before Matthew, right before the New Testament.
Right. There, in chapter 6,
okay,
there's an interesting thing that Zechariah sees as a prophet. Okay, I want to turn to it in my regular Bible here rather than just on my computer and read it. Chapter 6 and verse 13. Now, this is Zechariah seeing a prophecy about the Son of God. He calls him the branch.
Okay.
Okay. Remember, Jesus talked about him being the vine.
Yes.
And his father was the vine dresser. Well, here, that Christ is the branch that comes off from the trunk of the tree, which is pictured as the Father. And in verse 13, he talks about this branch. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. Now that's clearly talking about Jesus Christ.
Mm.
But the end of this is very important. It says, and the counsel of peace shall be between them both.
Mm.
My understanding of this text is that the Father and the Son had a council between the two of them about how they could bring humanity back from being sinful.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with that.
And, you know, when you have a council, we have a saying, when you put your heads together.
Yeah, two heads are better than one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Two heads. So there's two sayings, right? It's the same thing with male and female.
Sure.
The way we're wired differently, if we put our heads together,
we have
something very powerful.
You know, I hope I'm not interrupting you.
No, go right ahead.
Just thinking about this and how they work together. Growing up as a boy, I remember, you know, my dad was pretty much the strict disciplinarian. And
yeah.
My mom has more love than I could even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So there were times when my dad would know that this has to happen and it's going to happen this way. And my mom would say, well, Hugh, you know, did you ever think about this? Or do you think you're being a little bit hard on him? And I think between the two of them, it always came out to be a fair. There were times I thought it was unfair, but looking back now at some of the things that happened, I think there was a fair discipline. This is the difference between a man and a woman. A lot of times men think it's all logic. It's all got to come from the brain. And women have the love, that heart, that they're nurturers naturally. And I think between the man and the woman, it makes a perfect balance. This is why, this is one of the problems with the world today, is that a lot of children don't have a father and a mother at home.
Yeah, I think the devil has really done a masterful job in destroying the family that God has set up.
Yes.
You know, there's a text that David wrote in the Psalms, Psalm chapter 85 and verse 10. He's attributing this to the character of God. He says, "Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Hmm. God's character is the perfect balance between love and justice. Mercy and righteousness, you know, it's the perfect balance. A judge, an earthly judge, you know, if we go in front of the judge, and usually we're in front of the judge for dumb stuff, right?
Right.
Like we were going too fast on the highway, right?
Right.
And we deserve to get the ticket that we got. And judges know that. They know that we, you know, we were going 10 miles, 15 miles over the speed limit. We deserve that ticket.
Right.
So usually it's pretty difficult to convince a judge that you don't deserve that ticket. And that's justice. That's justice. But, you know, a good judge is one that can see maybe there's some extenuating circumstances. Now, I don't know in this example, especially in my own case, where there have been many extenuating circumstances. I don't have a lot of tickets, but a judge that can put these two things together, mercy and justice.
That's difficult sometimes, isn't
that's it? That's got to be the character of God. That's what David is saying here. And, you know, that's what exactly what you were describing with your mom and dad.
Between the two of them.
Yeah. And I think God has wired males and females to be together like that, to make the perfect combination that we need to raise children.
Hmm.
Wouldn't that make sense?
It does. It makes sense to me. You know, one of the things, I've done a couple of weddings, and, you know, I guess you would call it a marriage sermon or a wedding sermon. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, this is a place where I usually always take people to.
Okay.
It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. In verse 9, mm-hmm. It starts off, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion." Isn't that the way a husband and wife should be?
Yes.
You know, there I have deficiencies, and my wife makes up for that, and she helps me in those areas. Mm-hmm. And then it says, "But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up." And then in verse 11, it says, "Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." That threefold cord is God in the arrangement of the man and the woman.
Yeah, that's right.
You see, you've got a man, a woman, and then the Creator involved in their relationship. Mm-hmm. And to me, that, you know, it's like if anytime you have a rope and you take another one and you twist it, it's going to be stronger. And then when you put that third piece of that cord in there, mm-hmm. it brings the two together that much better.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that what happens today is there's so much emphasis put on this gender equality, that women can do the same things as men and men can do exactly what a woman does. Look, we were created differently. My wife has skills that I don't think I could ever master. And vice versa. This also, Rick, bleeds over into churches.
I believe
you're
right.
Where there are people, women, who want to be ordained as ministers. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. I have friends that are parts of churches where there are elders that are women.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I can't find that in the Bible. Do you have any thoughts on this?
You know, I just think it's the churches trying to appeal to the way society has dumbed down morality, the way society has dumbed down the way that our Creator has laid out things should be.
Yeah. You know, he's look, and for lack of a better way to put it, and I don't know if you like this illustration or not, you've heard me use it before. Well, in our understanding of the Father and Son relationship, God the Father and His Son, mm-hmm. we understand that a father always precedes a son.
That's true.
Your father has seniority over you.
Without a doubt.
Right?
Yes.
So, same here. So, when Adam was here first, it doesn't make him superior to Eve or any better than Eve. He has seniority over Eve.
Yeah, that's right.
If you and I use this illustration too, if you and I were to start a job and you started the day before I did, well, guess what? The advantage that you have is that if you want to take a vacation, you'll likely get to take that where I have to work around your schedule.
That's true.
Right? So Adam, being the one that God made first, God chose to put him as the head of the woman. And it's just, again, we go back to that scripture we looked at in Ephesians. It's just as, or in 1 Corinthians, rather, it's just as the woman is subordinate to the man is subordinate to Christ, Christ is subordinate to his Father.
Yeah, that's right.
There's an order. There's a divine arrangement that's been put together.
That's true. God. Yeah. Well, I was just flipping back through 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and just reading those things again about the headship arrangement that God has put together in creation.
Right.
And really what occurred to me is it's very evident just from you, what you just said from scripture and these texts, that this arrangement, it doesn't just take place in the creation of this earth. God was trying to teach us about authority in the way he created us and the authority that existed between him and his son how many eons right. before we were created.
In eternity past, right?
So if God is trying to teach us about authority in this way, man, shouldn't we listen?
Amen.
I think we've touched a little bit about how the devil has done a masterful job of breaking down society through breaking down the family and the family unit. Hmm. And I think God is trying to teach us about the authority that should be between him and his son, between his son and the man, and between the man and the woman. And it trickles down to the children also.
Absolutely.
So it's a beautiful thing if we just open our minds to it.
Yeah, if we just follow the arrangement that God gave. Mm-hmm. You know, in closing, a text that we've looked at many, many times, and a lot of Christians really are not familiar with this text, is in 1 Corinthians 15. And I wonder if Christ did not want to follow through with what this says, or with anything that the Father had given him to do, what would happen to the universe as we know it? You know, this shows how important it is to let's be who we are according to who God made us to be.
I mean, that's what we discovered. Lucifer became Satan and an evil angel because he did not want to respect the authority of God and his son. He wanted to be something that he wasn't created to be.
This is why we're in the mess we're in today.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it true?
Even when Eve took the fruit, the appeal was, you will be like God. That's what Satan the serpent said to her
yes.
in the Garden of Eden right there in Genesis chapter 2 and 3.
And the important thing that a lot of Christians miss is the accountability wasn't, they weren't held completely accountable until Adam ate the fruit.
Yeah, that's right.
He was the head of the woman. So once he did it, now he was held responsible for that. In fact, Paul says that the woman was deceived, but Adam knowingly did wrong. That makes him more responsible.
Absolutely, without a doubt.
So the text that I was referring to, and we don't have much time at all, but it's when it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about the end of time when all things are done, when Christ will hand everything back to his Father, mm-hmm. that his Father will also, once again, be
all in all.
All in all, it says.
That's right. So Christ will be subject to the Father so that all of us can see and understand that.
Yes. And it puts everything into perspective. And if we want to be in that kingdom, friends, we just follow what the scripture says. Mm. You know, if we study this and we live by it, then we can be a part of that. But if we want to be someone who we weren't created to be, I don't know. I couldn't imagine a dog saying, I'm not happy being a dog, I'd rather be a cat, or vice versa.
That's true.
You know? So it's you know, it's quite a study. There's a whole lot more we could have said here.
That's true.
But don't fall into the trap of letting people wrap you up in these conversations of gender equality. Men were created to be men. Women were created to be women. We both excel in different ways. And we've never, Rick and I here at Prophecies of Hope are not saying that women don't deserve equal pay if they're doing the equal job. We think they do.
Absolutely.
That being said, I guess we need to close with a word of prayer.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the Bible, for the balance and the guidance that you give mm-hmm. us in there, that you give us examples of almost anything that can come up in life, that you've given us your son as an example, the things that he did, the balance that he had, the fact that he relied on you. And Father, may we as human beings learn that same reliance upon you through your son, Jesus Christ, that we can learn his example and live like he lived. Father, I ask that you will be with the listeners, that until we come together again, that they will think about these things. And we ask for your protection to be upon those who are listening. And we thank you for all good things that you provide for us. Father, we ask for forgiveness when we sin against you. We thank you for this day of life. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So any closing thoughts, Rick?
No, I think I'm all set. It's been a great study today,
Mark.
Yes,
I've enjoyed it very much. So friends, we want to thank you for tuning in. And once again, until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.